So our focus in this in these 2 days is on what I call emotional archaeology. And we could think about the imagery of regular archaeology and finding a piece of land, isolating a piece of land that might have goodies buried in it, and then methodically uncovering the strata of Earth and the layers, and intentionally focusing on gently looking at what's there, getting out our little brushes and brushing off the dust around things, but to catalog these layers going down and doing that with emotions. So I have done this with every client I've worked with for years. And Candace and I were talking about the idea of me coming back, and we had in that same conversation, actually we were talking about, I was telling explaining this idea of this archaeology and how we do it with birth charts. And she said, "I want to really learn that." And I said, "Gosh, I've never taught that to anybody. I just use it with or on people, but I just use it in my work." And sometimes people will say, "Well, what are you doing?" And I'll explain for a moment, but like we're in the process. So we agreed that this workshop would be to teach you how to do this, but also using your charts so that you can really get inside the process as I do it with you when we talk about it from the bird's eye view. And, you know, this does include evolutionary astrology, which is a way of looking at, as far as I define it, it's a way of looking at us as multidimensional beings. So we are going to talk about reincarnation. And we're going to talk about the soul. And we're going to talk about why your soul has chosen to wire you as a human the way that it is. And we're going to talk about, when we talk about soul, we're going to talk about you as the divine creator who has split off to forget it for a while. And
You mean what?
to forget that you are a divine
Oh,
creator. So that you think you're Michael and you're living your life and you'll have an idea of the spiritual eventually at some point in your multi-life journey, but to actually reconnect with the idea or the truth that you have created all you've experienced, that takes us closer to soul. So part of this is actually looking at how to read a chart as the soul's intentions. How to read a birth chart. So the intention is always to be gentle. When we find something in the dirt and we brush away the debris around it. And one of my core intentions is to support people in, you know, discovering, uncovering this past that each of us carries in order to be able to let go of some of it so that we can actually be present in our living. That's the whole goal of this. My definition of spiritual includes presence. What does it mean to be spiritual? It doesn't have anything to do with the tools or the books or the people who offer training in what we think of as spiritual. It doesn't have anything to do with how many meditations I give you. It's your experience of becoming present, basically coming out of this, you know, identifying with the strata of history that you're carrying emotionally. So that's my goal. That's my goal here. And we're going to take different routes that are going to seem all the way around the block and then back again, and then maybe like over to Ellensburg and back and, you know, a few dozen miles. But it's all about getting you present, supporting you in coming to be more present. Okay. Looking at these emotions that we carry deep down. Having the intention to connect more with soul, understanding the intentions of soul, and then aligning with the fact that we have created it. That, like my, you know, becoming closer to soul raises your consciousness. It shifts your awareness. And so one of the goals here is to give you some tools and insights so that you can look at anything in your life that has happened to you and with compassion and grace, accept it as your creation, as God and Goddess. So, this takes us a little beyond regular evolutionary astrology, which is already beyond regular astrology, right? And you know, my experiences as a psychic medium working with the spirits of people who have passed away has taught me about how they perceive everything once they pass, both in, you know, how their human personalities might be, they might not want to give up yet some of the things they were attached to as people, and I can see that. And then also in when they do release it, then they gain a bird's eye view on why their life is the way it was, or was the way it was, why all of their relationships happened. And so I've experienced their wonderment and joy and confusion and eyes being, you know, the light bulbs flashing about why they created what they created. And that's been an incredible experience to work with people who are on their way, who are on their way out of being attached to being human, and they're getting the education of what their soul created. And that my experiences as a channel have involved a lot of direct questions to the Ascended Master I work with about soul. And as I've mentioned in different places, because people ask me how I got involved in channeling, and I think maybe Glenna asked me that yesterday, or somebody asked me that. Yeah, Summer asked me.
I was asking in
spirit. Okay. And, you know, and I tell that story about how I just had some questions that I wasn't getting answered from books or human astrologers about soul. And I realized that, you know, lots of Eastern traditions and spiritual traditions will focus on it. But I just, something was lacking. Something was missing for me. It wasn't resonating with me. And this Ascended Master came forward to start answering the questions I was holding in my mind. And so from the Ascended Master, I've learned about why a soul picks the lives it picks, and why the birth chart is the way it is. Why is Pluto in Cancer? Why is the South Node in the sixth house? Not just trying to understand the fact of what it means that it's there, like how that plays out in your day-to-day life, but why? So I'm a very curious person, and I seem to be willing to do a tremendous amount to satisfy that curiosity. I seem to be willing.
Far-reaching.
Right?
Right?
I can't stop.
Yay!
It's,
thank you.
Yeah, right.
Thank you so much.
It's a Scorpio thing. Like, whatever you see in front of you, you say why, and then you get an answer, and then you see the answer, and you're like, well, that's great. Well, why? And it's that. It's that. But I actually, for the first time in my life, found the point where I didn't have to keep asking why, because I just got it revealed to me. And so that's why we're here. Right. So, yeah. So we're going to talk about, for each of you, why. Not just, can you get over it? Or what could you do to feel better about it? Or can you forgive somebody or forgive yourself for a choice? But why your soul has created it. And for me, that's what's been missing from astrology.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for you too. You resonate so strongly with this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I still call it evolutionary astrology, but sometimes I call it evolutionary astrology plus. Like, to spend an hour talking about what soul is, that's new. You know, that's new. So, okay. So backtracking to our talk last night, which I think everybody was here last night, we are energetic beings. Kind of backtracking to the beginning, before the beginning, perhaps. And this is where we start talking about soul. All that is, the great divine intelligence, which is everything, all consciousness, that realized that it couldn't know itself as a whole. So the decision was made to partition itself off with the intention of temporarily forgetting its true nature as all that is, the divine intelligence. And to temporarily forget and to be embodied, to become embodied. And that's what you are. That's what we are. And that's what Bodhi and Goodman are. And that's what our bird friends are. Portions of this divine intelligence. And yes, even bugs and cockroaches. After I told this whole thing, I got that question. Well, what about bug? Should I not kill mosquitoes? So am I killing God? But I struggle with that too. Finding that consciousness within that being. And so the intention is to temporarily forget so that we can eventually remember. But the in-between time, which is vast, which is millions of years, is experiential learning while being ignorant of what's happening. The vast time between, aha, divine source says I'm going to partition myself off and forget and embody, temporarily forgetting, but then eventually remember. That leaves out the millions year montage of experiential learning through ignorance. Where you are now, that you want to come here and hang out with us together and have these conversations, where you are now, and where humans have the opportunity to be, given the evolution of consciousness that the mind calendar tracks, you know, we're ramping up towards the end of it, the end of October, just like 6-7 weeks away. Yeah. It's what I believe is the actual end of the Mayan long count calendar. We'll say it's December 2012. People, we think that, and people have redone the math, and I tend to go with the people who have revised the math on it and say I think it's October 28th. But this whole time that we're living through, as I spoke about a little last night, do you remember that part when I was talking about, like, we're having access to these past life memories, whatever isn't resolved comes up, you know, so we're, you know, like something you thought you dealt with 30 years ago, and you did, but now is up, and you're like, wait a minute, what am I, you know, didn't I do this? So that whole, like, evolution of consciousness. And so there's a point when it's basically the possibilities of conscious awareness are perfected, because people will catch up. We will still be processing things. But our capacity to actually see this big picture and really take it in is what evolves and then hits that point. And so this opportunity where each of you is, is drawing a line in your history, drawing a line in your experience as a being. Everything that you have encountered to date, according to the Earth timeline, for thousands and millions of years, everything that your soul, that your portion of the divine intelligence has experienced, has more or less been through ignorance. Great. Draw a line and say, okay, I accept that. Emotional archaeology is about processing the results of the experience that has been gained through ignorance, which has more or less been half painful, or half of the experiences have been painful, roughly. Like maybe for me it's 49.2%, for you it's 50.1%, but like, you know, this vast, vast duration allows for this incredible array of experiences which have all been brought through ignorance. So for a few decades, a lot of us have been getting exposed to these ideas that we create our reality, and that's great. But it's not enough. We also have to understand why we created it, even though through ignorance. So as we talk today and tomorrow about all these things, I'm going to ask that you plant a seed and that you return to drizzle some water on it occasionally whenever you remember. And it is to forgive yourself for having created, through ignorance, what has been painful. And each of us does have an inner judge that might want to come forward and say, really, I created that? You know, and we just want to release ourselves. So part of this drawing a line in the sand is also letting that judge just be wired the way it is, but not give it any, you know, not feed it. Because the intention of you as divine source is to have created through ignorance, and you've done it. That was the intention. Okay. It's kind of amazing to me that we're only just now capable of using a birth chart like this. Like, think about the threads of understanding that you have gathered in your life and you've woven together into philosophies and teachings and lifestyles and practices, like the things that, you know, you're already pretty savvy about spiritually and metaphysically. But now, because of this ramp up of the evolution of consciousness, now we're actually able to do more with it. So it's like we've almost been, like, been gathering these threads in our pocket. We've been weaving together, but now we can actually see how they could, I don't know where this is going. You know, we weave from all these little strings together a rope, we can climb out of the tower. I don't know, whatever. But
now it's accessible. I see a picture of we've been building the grocery store, but there was no entrance, really.
Oh, great. Oh, great. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Right.
Yay.
Right. The grocery store. Why do you say grocery store?
I saw this grocery store, but it just didn't have a... And now, like, there's this big, hurricane door. Here we go with the goodies.
Right.
It's access.
And the why is kind of that. And the other thing about being a human that you probably all noticed... I don't know. Right? I've been obsessed with it for my whole life, but I'm sure everyone is aware of this. But the inborn need we have to find or create meaning, the why sates that. The answer to why you've created it sates it.
States it?
Sate. Like satisfies it. Yeah, like satiate. And so for me, I was on this search for meaning. And just in the last few years, I was able to kind of start to chill out after like thousands of years of trying to figure out what was really going on. So, yeah, it's a grocery store. Yeah. Like all the things. But all the packaging is eco-friendly. It's all organic. And no child labor involved. Fair trade. So, to talk about the multi-life journey of this portion of divine intelligence, I've had the image of a soul sitting with its advisory team, the guidance team, in some sort of conference room type situation. And on the wall is a huge array of monitors. And the meeting begins with the soul being asked by the guidance team, what are you going to do? What are you going to learn about? As you forget your nature and stumble through blind ignorance for thousands of lifetimes to learn what it means to do so. And the soul says, I'm going to learn about equality and justice and fairness. And the guidance team says, oh, no, that's a good one. That's a really good one. Yeah, that sounds good. And so the soul, outside time, soul knows no time, soul exists outside time. The soul then basically... This is how the image comes through to me, erupts into space-time. But the soul is outside space-time. your life is one of these eruptions for your soul. It's like tendrils into this dimension. What you experience is fed back to the soul. I get this image of the monitors on the wall. Your life is one of these thousands of monitors associated with this soul. With the theme of justice or fairness or equality, which is, you know, Libra 7th house, Venus, by the way, with that theme, all of these different lives give the soul the opportunity to learn about different choices in different social and family and economic contexts. So all these lives erupted into, you know, your life being an eruption of soul into this dimension. And you're going about your business. You're like, well, this is what I want to study in school, and this is I want to have a family, and I want to live here, and I want to have this kind. Well, that, if we think that's what's really happening, we're not connected to soul at all. And that's the sickness of the world that we have been living in, I believe.
Like a separation.
Yes.
From the soul and the self that we've
created. Yes. Yes.
It's my first image of the separation.
Yes. Right there. Exactly. You're separated from divinity because you don't understand who you are, and you're separated from each other, but you don't understand everybody else is divine, that we are together divine. And separation, yeah, exactly. The perception of separation, with the feeling and then the heartache of separation. Mm-hmm. We need meaning. We need to know there's a purpose. We need to know what we are, right? So my way to do that is to get people connected to soul. But like there are many routes to the spiritual thing, but yeah, separation. And so reconnecting to soul in a more conscious way, which is what we're here to do, and teach you how to help other people do the same thing. Yeah.
Understanding that, would you believe that when this person, the soul, has this discussion with the group, decides where to
go? Yeah.
He is not aware at all that he's divine. Yeah.
The soul is.
The soul is divine, but
yes.
He makes the choice.
Yes.
He's not in touch with the soul.
Well, so the soul is sitting in this image of the conference room or something outside space-time. Okay. All of its lives are not aware. So it erupts into the space-time dimension in order to experience and make choices. But those which are like Tom Jacobs as opposed to the soul that is associated with me. But Tom Jacobs, yeah, he has no idea. For the vast majority of Earth history, he has no idea. He's just like, I love this computer and I'm a writer and I like Washington and... You know, like, I like macaroni. You know, it's like that kind of thing. And you're cute and you're nice and I don't like you. And that's what we are occupied with.
Isn't that cute?
But the soul is sitting in this room observing the choices. So I say about the theme of fairness or justice. You know, I'm obsessed with it, though I might not, as a human, understand why. I will see the world in terms of fairness or not fairness. Or lack of it. But the soul is very clear, very aware. And the soul is saying, well, Tom Jacobs makes this choice to do this within relationship. Either he's seeking fairness. He's seeking to create it, to learn how to do it. But he kind of makes some bonehead moves once in a while. But the soul is like, yes, that is what happens when a human conditioned and wired as Tom Jacobs is in his, you know, time-space context, family context, you know, karma, all that stuff. That's the choice to not reveal the truth to his friend. Let's be specific. The soul says, aha, well, when he chooses not to reveal the truth to his friend, when it's really important to him to do so, that's what he feels later. And that's how it affects the friend. And that's how their relationship, you know, might hit a fork in the road because of that. And the soul is saying, aha, wonderful. I'm learning through Tom Jacobs about this choice. Now, Tom Jacobs is feeling pain. But the soul is observing the results of choices. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You're welcome. And so imagine this room with all these monitors, and it's like, oh, yeah, that, you know, Roman housewife, same soul. Or that slave in Mississippi in 1821, or that, you know, priest in 1920s Chicago. That in all these different lives, and the soul is saying, aha, well, when I am the priest and I don't reveal the truth and don't have equal relationship, and that's what that feels like in that context. Okay. So, and then, oh, and this Roman housewife, when she doesn't say, you know, and it's just aware of all that input. Now, we're experiencing time. And we're on this trajectory from birth to maturation, unfolding, and, you know, and then death. But the soul is just observing all of these things simultaneously. Mm-hmm. It's actually like we're watching, you know, we're sitting here and there could be a TV here, and that TV is recorded in a different time. That program that's coming to us isn't live. It's like recorded from a different time, but that's like, you know, outside the time that we're living in. Though it, you know, tracks the same way, like 10 seconds is 10 seconds. It was recorded in a different time and it's coming through to us. And that's kind of how the soul experiences this. And but the results of choices. And when I work with people, and as we'll talk about this when we talk about Pluto empowerment and healing with Pluto, you know, we have made all kinds of different choices in these lives. And where, however we're disposed right now to think about what we might choose or to kind of feel about what we should do, it is the result of choices over many lives. You see that? Yeah. Yeah. So if I'm hesitant to tell my friend the truth, it's kind of like I am unconsciously weighing. I mean, I don't even know I'm doing it. I'm just feeling the emotion of the effects of what's happening in all of my lives. So, I mean, this conversation is about so we can see what's happening and get the bird's eye view and actually be able to manage it consciously. But normally, me telling Tom Jacobs being forthright with a friend, you know, he doesn't even realize that his feeling about it right now is shaped by thousands of lives of exploring fairness and friendship. Yeah.
Sit back consciously in that memory.
Exactly.
In that wholeness.
Exactly.
Is that we can tap into that wholeness that we are as yes. souls together.
Yes.
And nourish in that and nurture and yeah. feel the wholeness and remembering that we are whole. And
yeah.
Focus on that and bring that into the foundation grounded in the earth and allow
yes.
the
spirit
to clear the way.
You've been on a path, and you're in the minority. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what I mean. Eventually, that's where everybody gets. Maybe with different vocabulary and a different language, mm-hmm. right? And different skin colors and different times. But that's where we all ultimately go, because we will each of us remember the true nature, our true nature. So almost all the work I do with anybody about any topic is for that vast, you know, cleaning up that vast stretch of time and number of lives that are filled with learning through ignorance. Yes?
No. It's the same as saying. So if I come to hear justice mm-hmm. and balance mm-hmm. and whatever mm-hmm. that's going on, trying to feeling is,
mm-hmm.
emotion is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
From here, and experiencing that.
Yes.
Okay. So when something triggers that.
Yes.
Feeling, emotion. So just to be that divine source, I would call awareness.
Yes. Yes.
And that awareness says, it's just with it, really. It doesn't really judge it. It doesn't really.
Right.
It just watches it, okay?
Right, right.
And then all of a sudden, oh, there's a memory from a page in my life. And I go, I got that, wow. I just released it, there it goes.
Right.
So I'm cleaning up my history, right?
Yes, yes.
On more than just this level, the multi-level. My
okay.
karma, right?
Okay.
Everything. Okay.
Yep.
So, is there many things?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Well, there are a handful.
Oh, really? So there's structure to that. Like, kind of like the Ten Commandments, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm just going to stay far away from that.
Give me another one.
I say a handful of themes.
Okay.
Well, we're talking about 12 astrological archetypes.
Oh.
A handful of themes. So, as I said, this soul over here that's erupted into Jacobsville.
Scorpio.
Right, exactly, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. That is Pluto in Libra. Oh. The soul says, I'm going to major in justice, equality, fairness, harmony, balance, relationship.
So your Scorpio has to look into the depth of it then, doesn't it?
Yes, but then the Scorpio part is really conscious personality as opposed to the soul's intention, which is Pluto. We'll get there.
Oh, okay.
We'll get there. Okay. Ah, yeah. So there are a handful of themes. As we talk about this, we'll talk about themes belonging to the symbols or related to the symbols of your Pluto. We'll talk about themes related to your south node of the moon and the south node ruler of the moon. And also the North Node to some degree. And so this set of themes, but what happens is...
And there's a part of me that goes, oh, could it really, really be that simple?
Yes!
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 Yes.
Effortless!
Because finally there's a door to get in there. And see the light.
When we're going to list the themes that each of you is majoring in at the soul level. And we're going to rank what this life is focusing on. We're going to rank it. I'm going to give you this example. I have a past life where I have the dude's chart. And my south node is in Cancer in the 10th house. So that means, well, we'll get into that. But basically, symbol there. My Pluto is in my 12th house. So those indicate two major themes of the handful of themes. And he has south node in the 12th house, where my Pluto is. And I have my south node where his Pluto is, Cancer in the 10th. So the soul is focusing into varying degrees in different lives, varying weights and balances of certain themes, but like in some other life, I could have moon conjunct my south node, which echoes moon or south node in Cancer. Or I could have, that guy has south node in the 12th, I have Pluto in the 12th. So it's like we're kind of exchanging thematic emphases, we're kind of varying them up, but 10th house, 12th house are big for me. Yeah, so these emphases and themes, you know, trading in themes, like and I also have squares to my nodes, which we'll talk about. And so there's a heavy emphasis on Venus stuff for me, but learning new things about Venus, basically being habituated to Venus stuff, but needing to learn new things. And so in some other life, I might not have Venus and Chiron square the nodes, you know, I might not have that same setup, but the emphasis on Venus, needing to learn Venus, will be there in different ways. And, I could give that example, his Pluto in Cancer in the 10th, my south node in Cancer in the 10th. Well, in some other life, I might have, you know, this soul might manifest, or does probably manifest, with moon conjunct south node. So it's like this trading of all these themes. It is not to say that Cancer, Moon, and Fourth House are all the same. It's not to say that there's no difference between these kind of members of the archetypes. But it is to say that the themes will be present in the chart. And there's going to be a handful. There's going to be a handful of them. 12 archetypes and, infinite variety of combinations, myriad combinations when we talk about this. Yes.
So, if you have a chart read now, during this life,
yes,
obviously, what happens to the fact that, how does it affect this?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we haven't had the same birth chart for all these previous lives.
Similar themes. Not the same chart, but similar themes, yes. Yeah. Different charts, but the same themes. For example, talking about, the south node of the moon it takes about 18.6 years to make a revolution all the way around the wheel. So that's one cycle. So about a year and a half per sign.
What helped me is your illustration with the soul.
Oh, you like that? You like that? Yeah.
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 Visually, that really, really helped.
Visually? Have you seen that, Anne? Have you seen that? The visual? Have you seen the visual in the book?
No.
Well, I'm gonna hand it to you right now. Oh my gosh, I might even know the page. No, I don't. 42? Nope. Here it is. 59. So looking at the first one, it's just all these lives connected to one point. Yeah, but then the second one adds the timeline and the years. But, so these cycles, like the nodes of the moon, say it's an almost 19-year cycle. Well, Pluto represents another theme, and that's about 248-year cycle. So if your soul is learning about Cancerian stuff, well, Pluto's only, you know, there every couple hundred years. But the nodal thing, every 19 years, it's there. And then every month, every 28 days, the moon's in Cancer. So you have all these different ways of having that theme in a chart. So your soul says, Roman housewife. And then over here, trapper, trader. And over here, camel driver. And over here. So you're different times in the timeline. And so in some lives, the Cancerian theme is going to be Mars and Cancer square the nodes. In another life, it's going to be a south node in Cancer. In another life, it's going to be Pluto in Cancer. You see.
So even though we've had all these lives, our soul is still basically influencing us?
Oh, yes. All of your experience in all these lives are feeding information back to the soul. Yeah. All these things are feeding information back to the soul.
Do you believe that it is the soul that enlivens us?
And what ends?
That, you know, that it is actually here.
Oh, well, the soul is sitting in that conference room watching what you're experiencing and learning.
So a portion of its awareness or energy.
Yes.
Comes through.
Divine awareness, divine consciousness. And you are a gathering point. You are collecting data in space-time. And the soul is like, yes, okay. When summer does this, this is what happens. This is what it feels like.
So are you saying our soul is always guiding us on some level that we're not aware of?
Well, soul is actually hands-off, sitting back, observing what you're doing. If you want it to guide you, become conscious of what it's about. That's what we're doing today. Yeah, so you're welcome. So what the opportunity becomes is to connect to soul, to become consciously aligned with what soul is trying to do. And what happens is, and this is what I'm experiencing kind of slowly in my life and what I'm trying to bring to people, what happens is you realize there's, like, you learn it, you can connect with the themes, you can connect with the soul's intentions. Why is it creating this? Why have I experienced this? And you kind of feel something with you that has always been there, but you've never known how to talk about it or hold space for it. And that is the awareness of soul that usually is like watching you. You are consciously letting it be here. And interact. That's what you see when you, I mean, actually, that's what you see when you look into the eyes of somebody who's been meditating for years and who has been communing with spirit in some way. You're seeing that person, the result of that person having kind of opened up to allow soul to come through. So this idea, is it guiding us? It could. But if I think I'm my shiny sports car, or, you know, my physical strength or my income, you know, I'm just naturally not going to be open to it. But it doesn't actively guide like, this is important, this is really important. I'm glad that we're going this way. It doesn't come in and say, well, you should do this and you should not do that. What it does is, if you are open to feeling it you will feel resonance. I should go that way. I should not trust you. I should forgive you. So it can guide us indirectly through resonance.
Would that be like intuition?
Yeah, it's a part of it.
Connection to that.
Definitely part of it.
I don't even know why I know that I am not going to do that part.
Yeah, it's part of it.
And nothing told me that for sure. But
intuition. And so if you couple that, if you do that on a regular basis, and you couple it with conscious learning about, which was what we're doing here, about what the soul is trying to get done, it's life is magic. Life becomes magic. Couple your intuition and your gut and gut instinct, right? It's kind of related. And then, and what am I really here to do? Why did I get myself born? Couple that together and bring that in, and and life becomes magic. And then you meet the right people at the right time.
Could you say that one more time? The coupling, conscious learning.
Oh, yeah. Conscious learning of what the soul is trying to get done with that willingness to allow intuition and be connected to inner wisdom.
Or knowingness.
Knowingness. Thank you. Because then the soul just boosts that level of knowingness. Mm-hmm. And then life starts, I said magic, but it starts to get surreal too. Yeah. You feel like you're 98% of the time in the right place at the right time, or you have the opportunity to say, oh yeah, I don't want to do that, and then this other thing just opens up. Julian and I were walking in the orchard this morning, eating little fruit things, and she said, this is a dream. And each of us separately has kind of been more willing to allow that wisdom to come through and then to make some choices to support it. So suddenly we feel this resonance of, whoa, it's surreal. It's surreal. Not surreal like I might get nauseous. I don't know if I can if I can have this conversation with you, but surreal of this is really happening. That's where there's like less resistance for soul to observe, you know, this whole open channel thing. Yeah.
A waking dream.
And, you know, as far as this whole talk about human evolution, that's the possibility, is to be living in this waking dream. And as far as 2012 and soul goes, it's not that everybody's suddenly happy and everybody gets along and it's the Aquarian Age and we're all, like, skipping through the fields singing cool songs and eating organic. It's not like some magic thing that happens. It's this. Opening up to your multidimensional nature. So, emotional archaeology, to dig down, is about cleaning up the past and making sure that things are filed appropriately. That's where I want to go next, is karma. So what do we usually think karma is? I want to hear what you have heard and what you understand and what you feel, what you sense. Like, what is karma?
The bad shit.
Right on. Okay. The bad shit. I don't edit that.
But that's a concept that's floating around.
Uh-huh.
It's the bad shit that you brought in.
When is the first... What do you remember when... Maybe not the moment, but like the time in your life when you first heard about karma? Mm-hmm. What was... How did you hear it? What was going on?
That's a good question. I had just left the church.
And do you remember where you heard it from?
Now in integrating a new teaching, and it was about the New Age thing about, well, you know, you do have your karma. You have karma to clean up.
Okay, great.
And for me,
It
was when I was pretty young, and I remember I got away with stealing a piece of candy, and I ended up confessing to a friend, and they said, you know, even if you don't get caught now, it's karmic. So when I was real little, there was that sense. And then the other side of it was more recent with, well, there's also good karma that catches up with you, that you've done somebody a favor in the past. And that was just really recent, like maybe a year and a half ago that I started.
Wow. Huh. Anybody else when you first hear
Annette? My first experience was in the church, and it was speaking what you sow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That was the terminology used. But I really feel like that we can get off that wheel of karma.
Sure.
I'm not sure I can use it as a change of wheel of karma. I don't think that's easy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I will offer how I understand it, and you can take it or leave it. But yeah, I definitely don't subscribe to it as it's usually talked about. But so I'm definitely with you of like throwing out that bathwater first. Yeah,
Michael. Come to it, they said, was in Berkeley, and this consciousness was about expanding and understanding.
Yeah.
But it was presented as, we can make a difference by what we do. Mm-hmm. So I never got the sense that it was the bad stuff that would create a bad karma.
Great.
It's like, I can make a difference from tomorrow by what I do. So it seemed like a pretty positive relationship between me and karma in my first feeling for it.
And then later, did you hear that it was all about bad shit? Did you hear that from people like elsewhere? Later. Like,
whatever you do, as if everything you did is probably going to create a bad result.
But then right.
I didn't get too involved in that because I thought there were other ways of looking at that.
Yeah.
So it was more what you do, you can make a difference for you tomorrow.
Right.
Or something.
Great, I like that.
This is really funny, Michael. Did I finish it?
Yeah.
But when Annette, when you said that reaping what you sow, I wrote it down, but instead of reaping, I wrote repeating what you sow.
Well, that's it, huh? It is. Well, that's what we end up doing. That's what we end up doing.
It is.
You sow it once, and then you're like, I can't stop doing this terrible, stupid thing. Okay. So here's what happens. So we have this like context of this multi-life journey, and the soul observing all these things. Right. The fact of the eruption into space-time has an effect on all of the energy fields that you are as a human. So it's like, I talk about your energy field, all of your eruptions into space-time, all of what we would call past lives, but I call our souls other lives, right? Because I'm already outside time, trying. And each one of those shares an energy field in common. So basically, the soul might erupt in 3,200 points along the Earth timeline, random number. Each one of those shares an energy field. So you have this essentially unconscious mandate, set of mandates, which are the themes the soul has chosen to learn. They're going to happen in each of these lives. One way or another, one form or another, one route or another. The energy fields are all linked. I say in common, maybe it's better to say linked. So, let's say, go back to my example, learning about fairness and equality and being forthright with a friend, being honest when I need to be. In some life, I do it, and it's empowering. I feel wonderful. And the person says, I'm so glad you said that. Thank you for being honest with me about this. And I, that feels good. So then part of me unconsciously goes, well, when I am honest, it feels good. Now, 10 years later, I remember that, and I say, wow, I'm at the kind of point in this relationship now where I wasn't that one. I got to say the thing. And I say it, and the person goes, you know, string of expletives, name calling, you're terrible. I don't want to be, you know, that hurts. And I go, oh, well, if I'm honest, then that hurts. Now, that's one life. But when it happens in, you know, 1420s Denmark, you feel it now. This evolution of consciousness with the veils dissolving between dimensions is also the partitions in our consciousness, partitions in our energy field, and therefore the partitions between parts of us that carry feelings in different lives. So that's why the thing that you thought you dealt with 20 years ago is up now, because it resonates with, it has a similar vibration and similar pain profile to something major in some other life. So in this life, you dealt with the sister lying to you. But in some other life, the sister, you know, energetically stabbing you in the back or lying to you or betraying you, that was too deep. Some random sister or the same one. But that kind of placeholder in life. And so now it's like, man, I thought I forgave my sister. We've moved on. And you did. But the resonance with this other life is now present because the veil between your partitions of consciousness is dissolving.
So we're always dealing with our own karma, so that we pull out the karma of the entire unconscious.
Yeah, we're going to go there too. We're going to go there too. Yeah, cool. Yeah, we're going everywhere today. You name it. You name it, we're going. I just got to get some replacement water. What is this business with the floating mint? Is it an iced tea or something? A lemonade? Sun tea? Does it have caffeine in it?
No. Peppermint and rose hips.
Thank you. Okay. Because you people do not want me to be caffeinated right now. Okay. See, when I get caffeinated, I forget to pause because it all comes faster. Okay. Right now, I'm like... Right. That's right. That's right. Because right now, I'm observing your thinking patterns, but when it's caffeinated, it's just out of the question. Oh, I care, but there's just other priorities. Speed. Okay, so I tell my friend the thing that needed to be said in order for our relationship to continue or resolve or be healthy. And my friend says, "Thank you for telling me." And I say, "Oh, well, when I am honest, it feels good and people like it." So that's a belief. Because it's not true. It's just one thing that happened. I made a choice and there's a response. Okay. And then 10 years later, a different relationship, I say the thing and the person goes, anger, just, you know, disdain, whatever. And I say, oh, the opposite. Oh, and I'm honest. That's a belief too. So, enough of these, good and bad, a belief becomes attached to the emotion in your field. That's what karma is. The label on a feeling. If we were all, when we become free of karma, we allow all feelings to come and we allow all feelings to then go. And we don't attach meaning to them. Okay. So this line that you've drawn in the sand saying everything I've created thus far is essentially through ignorance.
Karma are
the beliefs attached to emotions. Which are resulting from experiences.
And attaching meaning to those.
Mm-hmm.
Think events.
If you lie to me and I make a decision about what it means, that can, I'll have a knot in my energy field, which is pain, and I will apply an adhesive sticker to it that says, I don't know, men who are the age you are lie. People who wear black shirts can't be trusted. Or white people lie. Or men are terrible. Or life is unfair. You can't trust anybody, etc. Every single belief, that's what karma is. That's the karma. So what happened is the person did not appreciate my honesty. The person was in a position that day not to receive it. That's what happened. So emotional archaeology, we're digging through all these layers and we're going to find nuggets of belief. Then our job is to rewrite the history of why it happened.
It's an important example because you helped me with this. And now it's...
Oh, in our work together?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going through a really transformative time, and I felt bad that I wasn't vacuuming before my clients came.
Oh, yeah. I do.
Okay, and I've shared it with people, and it makes me laugh every time, because you said, okay, that's a belief that you have. No, you asked me, you said, who are you if you don't vacuum? And I had all kinds of, you know, a lazy slut.
She went there fast. I didn't have to, yeah.
And the fact is, Glenna, you're a woman who is not back to me. Wow, you've chosen not to vacuum. And so that it was just very profound for me that all the meaning, all the belief connected with that, the judgment, it flowed up.
And we talked about that in terms of your nodal structure, which we'll get into, but see, you can see. So having experienced that, now you're getting the backstory. Yes, Anne.
So in a way, you're saying that our beliefs are creating karma.
Okay. The beliefs are karma. I mean, the karma is comprised of beliefs, and when we cling to them, we recreate the karma. It's like continually pushing a button. It's like you're sitting at a desk, and there are all these buttons in front of you on this desk. And this one says, white men lie. And a part of you, seriously.
I know.
You know, right? That's what you, okay. So a part of you, the white guy comes in your office, and he sits down and he says, I'm not going to have that report to you today. And here's why. And you're just like, the fact is, the guy doesn't have the report done. You're like, but he's not telling the truth. That's true. He's making up an excuse because white men lie. You just hit it. And you're like, well, that's true. And the emotional trigger is the button and the emotional trigger.
So was he mirrored what you were thinking? Was he mirroring?
Yes. He's drawn to you because you hold the belief.
Men are going to lie.
Yes.
White men can lie.
Yes. Well, that's the truth. White men can lie. But yeah.
It can also be that he comes in and he's telling the truth, but based on...
That's another side of it. That's another side of it, too. So even when he is telling the truth, you're like, well, here's a white guy. I've got my finger on this. Just waiting for any sign that you might not be telling the truth. So whether the person's lying or not, thank you. Whether the person's lying or not, my finger's on that button, white men lie. I'm waiting for any indication. And then later, at a dinner party, and then it like didn't happen, so I couldn't hit the button. But I still believe it's true. So later, my friend takes me to a dinner party. My finger in my mind and heart is still hovering over this button. And I'm at a dinner party, and somebody comes in late and says, oh, well, you know, I had this thing, and it's like, I finally got to hit that button today. And the relief, because it turned out to be true. We're trying to have the karma really be true because we need to have our feelings justified. The feelings from the past, from the other life, we need our feeling justified, even if it has nothing to do with this life and no white man ever lied to us this life.
But in a way, is our energy drawing this people to us?
Precisely. So here we are, energetic being. You are an energy field with certain contours, and you have this knot here, white men lie, right? And over here, it's packaged food is a ripoff. And over here, it's anyone who says they want to nurture you is cruel. And over here, right, these knots like floating around your field, lodging with these stickers on them and these labels. And the fact of the knot broadcasts the label on the knot. So, white men lie. I'm working on healing past life Indian stuff, by the way, if you can't tell. Seriously. Okay, so that's like one of my five homework assignments right now. And so white men lie. Yeah, I will draw that energy to me because I believe it. So you are creating your reality. Of course, that teaching is true. And yet we're actually going to go five steps beyond that to unravel it. But yes, that's true. It came to you because you believed it's true. So if I believe I'm loved, love is going to come to me.
So my question in that is the higher self going to know that you're drawing those things learn
mm-hmm.
how to unravel?
Well, exactly. Yeah. You're here to learn about the theme. And so the higher self, the soul, is like observing all of it. We want the higher self to police things and help us. Well, the higher self can offer wisdom if consulted, but there's no daddy, mommy figure that the soul or higher self becomes. You, every individual, is the eruption of the divine into space-time. So you have a guidance team, and you know people who know more things about certain topics than you do, and you can consult for guidance, and you can find good books and whatever. But you are the prime mover in this experience. Always responsible. And then again, I remind you not to judge, to let the judge take the day off, take the weekend off. But we are responsible, but not so we flagellate ourselves, but you were creating. So this unconscious creation is because we're carrying these knots. I can't be honest with my friend. There's a knot with a label on it. And so I'm going to draw people who need to learn, because I need to learn that. I'm going to draw people who need to learn either the same exact thing or the other side of the coin. I can't trust my friend, and then the friends I draw are people who feel that nobody trusts them. And so it's like a ping pong thing that raises the level of drama. It's like we're playing, you're back and forth, right? It's just, we're passing the mistrust back and forth, and it's escalating the level of learning as it escalates, at the soul level, as it escalates our stress about it. And then we hit a point where we say, I can count 18 people in the last 20 years of my life that I couldn't trust. And then we need to go to an evolutionary astrologer. Because then you have a serious pattern. And you need to find out what the karma is behind it, what the belief is, and why it's there. So there are different categories of karma, but not in the sense of you can change this. The Eastern traditions will teach you can change this, you can't change that. I am deeply offended by that nonsense. There are things that are more difficult to change because you're not done learning them, but nothing is off the table for change. I think I actually brought, just in case I want to reference it, I brought this text on Jyotish, which is commonly, though mistakenly, called Vedic or Indian astrology, Vedic. And it talks about it's called Sankhya philosophy, which is kind of the cosmology of that ancient culture. And it lists the kinds of karma that can and can't be changed. It explains all this karma. And I just can't buy it because of what I've been shown about what I'm telling you. If I don't trust you, I draw people not to trust. Yeah, I'm sorry?
It's a caste system. The culture is a caste
system. Oh, yeah, that too. That too.
So that's where that comes down from.
Well, it also comes, the caste thing kind of comes later than this. This original thing is like what the ancient seers said. This is who we are and where we came from, and like thousands of years ago. But it's definitely grown out of that. The caste thing grows out of that. I mentioned last night I have a Sagittarius moon. You cannot tell me I cannot change something, because yes, then I have no reason to get out of bed in the morning. And I'm acerbic and bitter and a bear and a boar. So, okay. You too, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so right now we're talking about the karma that is just what you're carrying. There is a whole other category of karma between people. And then there's a whole national karma, ethnic group, religious group karma, and then the human collective karma, which I think is what you mentioned with the unconscious kind of collective thing. So there are these, all these different levels. And this weekend is going to focus, you know, we're focusing this weekend on this individual thing, but you can apply the principles of group or individual needs to learn about certain theme. Group or individual then draws experiences to manifest the theme and learn. So you can apply it to all these great things. Like for example, Jehudi goes into this in one of these channel books, in Understanding Loss and Death. He talks about genocide and national karma, group identity, religious karma that might, you know, why would a group create attempted or reality of genocide? And all the souls in that group have decided to learn together about this. So that's kind of interesting to get into. I mean, in the book, it's interesting to read. And then there's this whole human general collective, you know, which is the collective unconscious that is becoming conscious because people are choosing to heal the past, get multidimensional, allow these things to happen, connect a soul, and all that stuff. Yeah, we're focusing on the individual thing. In some of the conversations we have with you as individuals, that we have together with you as individuals, we'll talk about some relationship karma, because some stuff will come up naturally. But this individual thing is where I want to stay for right now.
Is it your view it starts at the individual? Because that's, you know, I mean, I know we're experiencing them all at once, but in my personal experience, it's been so important to get in touch with my own in order to really see the bigger picture. What's your view on that?
Yeah. I mean, any, you know, national group or ethnic group, cultural group, is made up of individuals who are sparks, you know, slivers of the divine intending to learn. They happen to share a syllabus for this life. So yes, it's the individual. But it is also really important to explore that group thing because of the group victimization and group identity and all that garbage too. But it all starts with the individuals. And you can sit down with every soul, you know, associated with a human who perished in the Armenian genocide, you know, all that stuff in the early 20th century. You could sit down with every single soul and see they share that in common, but it is the individual soul's choice. Yeah. Yeah. So, I tell my friend the big thing. The friend says, get out of my life. Oh, when I'm honest with my friend about what's really important to me, when I reveal my heart, when I share my truth, I'm rejected. Something like that. Some belief. Then I carry this knot with the label, and of course then I'm drawing the people who need to learn the opposite side of the coin or the same exact thing. And repeating what you sow. Exactly. Exactly. And so we have to come to a point not of never revealing our truth or staying away from people or not talking, but or withdrawing, or I wish I didn't have to live so I didn't have to feel this pain, which is where a lot of people go. It's not that, it's changing your mind about why some pain in the past happened. So we get to the down into the layers and we're dusting off little pieces, then we rewrite history. Relabel those knots, which allows the knots to dissolve. So for Glenna, the not vacuuming is not that she's a sloppy slut or whatever she's
lazy slut.
And you know, the fact is, I remember telling you that because I remember feeling joy that you were going to grasp this because what a big deal for Saturn in the first square of the notes, like what a big deal. Actually, you're a woman who chose not to vacuum. and the relief that you feel when that. And so this emotional archaeology is going down a list of all the things that, you know, your heart hurts about. The self-judgment, judgment of others, the resentment, all that stuff. And one by one, changing your mind about why it happened. It changes the label on the knot or the file. Oh, I was doing a channeling thing. I was doing Jehudi a couple months ago about this. And he was saying there is a file cabinet, a giant file cabinet in your psyche, meaning in your energy field. And it is jam-packed full of mislabeled files. So
please.
One is labeled, that's right, that's right. Not doing the housework before the client equals lazy slut.
Oh, gosh.
That's what it says in like all caps on that little label machine that's on the tab on the folder. So when you say, you pick up that file and you pick it up, which you did on the phone with me, you picked up that file, what that says is you access the emotion. That's picking up the file.
The gleeful part was when I got the razor blade out, got that label on, and just put... Woman who
doesn't
has chosen not to vacuum. Today.
Right now, 10 minutes ago. Woman who chose not to vacuum. That's the reality. That's a present. Then you're like, oh my God, there's another drawer up here that's empty. And it's reality. That situation that happened this morning happened this morning. Oh, I can let and you let the file go. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
The empty file drawer.
And then eventually you're like, that the one empties out and this one fills up. And then you're like, oh, well, now I can actually use that. And then you can use the whole cabinet for refiling. Refiling. Now, when you get this information, you're really taking this in and we talk about your individual charts. Every single day you will have the opportunity to refile dozens of things. Last night we talked about Chiron and... You know, we talked about, what are we talking about? I talked about, like, with examples of expecting rejection. I don't know if I said it quite like that, but I will not be loved if I do this, if I express this part of myself. Just kind of, you know, put a new label on that for right now, just, like, expecting rejection. Well, mine's in the seventh, so, you know, I have this initiating relationship. I don't want to tell the person, you know, Wade had that ball cap on, and I wanted to go over my favorite logo, my favorite team. I don't want to do that. Because I'm expecting rejection. Now, every single day, I have the opportunity to initiate conversation with somebody I don't know. Every single day, I have that opportunity. So, every single day, probably, you know, 3 to 40 times a day, I have the opportunity to maintain an old label on the file or to let it go. And it's not letting it go like pushing it out of your awareness and deciding it's not important. Letting it go as in, picking up the file, feeling that feeling, and saying, you know what? That's not what happened. That's not what's happening. Because when somebody did reject me that was painful in the past, it really had nothing to do with me. That's the truth of it. That's the Chiron of the seventh truth. How other people treat you has nothing to do with you. I mean, it's a general human truth. It's a general seventh house Libra interpersonal relationship truth. So I have that choice every single day with my south node ruler, Pluto square Jupiter, Pluto in the 12th, Pluto in Libra, Venus square the nodes, Chiron in the 7th. I have that opportunity every day with every belief that I have. Some days I don't leave the house, I don't see anybody, so maybe that's a free day. But like all the time I'm dealing with people, I have the opportunity. So what we're talking about, like the intention is to plant this seed so you catch every single little belief that you carry. We're going to talk about the big ones, big categories of them anyway. Maybe not every single one, but we're going to talk about the major categories. But this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is the way forward. Just speaking for myself, kind of giving you a potential sneak preview of where a person can go with this, is being aware all the time of the beliefs that guide me. Being aware of every single decision I make, that it is guided by a belief or it is a choice in the present moment.
Could you talk a little bit more on the intentions? Right before you brought up intention, I was like there. So intention is a little confusing because, you know, there is the, is it always intended? Is there such thing as unintended?
Are you talking about like the soul's intention? Yeah. Okay. So what seems unintended is in fact something you're simply not aware of that the soul has set out to do. So the soul says, this is what I'm learning. That is divine law, actually. Like that sets the world in motion. But you're not aware of it. So let's say back to me with trust, fairness of balance, whatever. Being honest with a friend. Maybe somebody, the other side of the coin, somebody lies to me and I find out about it and I'm like, you know, deflated. That was unexpected. That's not what I set out to experience. Well, that's not what my conscious personality set out to experience. The soul learned through that, just like being able to trust somebody and having my personal truth received with love. The soul learned. So that's why when we learn about what the soul is intending, we can adopt those as our intentions as well. And then that brings in conscious choice. Because if I know that my soul is intending to learn about honesty and relationship, if I know that, which I am, then I can approach my relationships in a new way. Now, when you use an energy consciously, you never feel used by it. Everybody's got every symbol in the chart. Yeah, wheels turning. Every single person has every single energy. We try to stay away from the ones that represent what has hurt us or is related to what hurts us. So most of us have something left out in our journey. We're trying not to do the thing. So if we look at it and say, this is what the soul is trying to get done by experiencing that, then you can change the label on the file of the bad experience that happened when you were 8 with your mom. And then you can actually be present with it, present with whatever's happening. But aligning your personal intentions, your personality's intentions, with your soul's intentions is divine empowerment. Because then your conscious personality is no longer fighting what your soul is trying to do. Your soul is God. Your soul is a portion of God.
There really is no intention. When you get to that point, there's no intention.
Right, it's just what's happening. It's already in play. It's already in play, and you don't have to say, I'm going in this direction, hell or high water. It's like, I feel I'm headed to Yakima to teach a workshop. Okay, let's do that. Let's call Candace and set up the details. Because that's already the preset intention of the soul. Yeah.
So, for example, what if you find yourself in a relationship with a person who you are aware has felt abandoned?
Yes. Yes.
This life. Is it reasonable to assume that he's setting himself up to be abandoned by you?
Yes. Yes. And then you have a choice on how you participate in his story. I mean, he always has a choice on how the story is unfolding. But if he's unconscious of it, and you just said that, so you're already conscious of his story, at least to some degree, right? For maybe not all of you detail, but you know what it is. He is a powerful divine creator with a soul set out on a mission to create that experience. And he's drawn you. You have the choice of how you're going to participate. Because you can actually stop. Like, the ball is thrown. He's throwing this ball. This is what you're going to do for me. And you can actually just pluck the ball out of midair and say, actually, I saw you throw the ball. I understand that that's something that you throw. I would like to have a different level of conversation about it. And then that person can either, like, say, like, embrace you or remove himself from your life. I'm a fan of the meta conversation. Whatever's happening, can we talk about why this is happening and how it is happening and why you're creating that? Just because I can't deal with subtext. Oh, I'm getting applause for that. Thank you. I can't deal with it. So, I recently had a conversation where I said to this other person, what is the bottom line thing that you can't deal with? And we exchanged them. And I realized I always set out to do stuff like that. I don't always do it. But I did it and it felt awesome. Because I was able to say, well, this is my bottom line thing that freaks me out, stresses me out, and that I would hold resentment about. And the other person said, oh, well, this is the thing I can't do. And that would stress me out. And it's like, how empowering is that, you know? Whether it's a new relationship or one that's been going on forever, it doesn't, you know, for years, decades. But to have that, but also, you know, I do the work that I do. And so I can't avoid people's underlying motivations and how I sense what their energy fields are up to and what their souls are trying to get done. So it's a different way of having relationships, but it more consciousness, more awareness. You can feel, just look around at everybody in the room and feel what everybody else is feeling right now, as we just said that. Because here, so it went like this. It went like the course of those couple of sentences. What's he gonna say? What's it? Oh, like the thing didn't, and then like.
Well, that happened earlier when Candace came in and said, "I just have to. Can I be honest with you?"
Oh, it did happen, didn't it? And I said, "Please."
That was my experience. I was like, "Oh, you're gonna say it? Oh, good, because it lives here already." And then once you said it, you responded. It was done.
Mm-hmm.
Then it just sort of dissipated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's being in the present, where she recognized in that moment, that's what I need to say. And you're checking in. But you've surrounded yourself with people who want to have that level of dialogue. Even if we're not all practiced at it, yeah, we know how important it is because we just had that .
And also, we've had this discussion, and then the other day, we were having a discussion about being conscious. Sometimes you are conscious of your own subtext in the moment. Sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're conscious of the other person's subtext, and it's mutual awareness of that in order to, to say what's really going on here.
That's an important point. I appreciate that so much when I'm feeling it, but not, I mean, it's subconsciously living there, but, and then when it comes forward or someone brings it, I appreciate that.
Yeah, because sometimes it can be scary, maybe you're not aware, you're scared of your own subtext, and then maybe you feel like you can express it because of some of the beliefs you've attached to,
Yeah.
And what you just said was, I believe in meta conversation. Isn't that what meta communication is?
I think so, meta, yeah.
And you said, I believe it's much better to get to the get below the subtext and actually say, oh, I see the subtext going on here. Could we just bring it out into some light?
Yeah, yeah.
It will feel much better if
we bring
it up into a space where it can be embraced.
And that is reflecting, interacting with each other without our karma. The beliefs about if I have this idea, I'm this thing is guiding my participation in my conversation with you. We're sitting around and my belief is guiding it. So my karma is determined, I'm allowing my beliefs about past experiences to determine how I interact with you right now.
Exactly.
So this whole conversation about karma, you can repeat what you sowed in, 1320s Egypt. You totally can. I can keep my mouth shut when I'm inspired by something you just said because I'm afraid because something happened in, 1720s Virginia.
A lot of it is related to fear, isn't it?
Isn't it all of it?
So she walks in. Were you afraid when you came in and you said, I need to say this? Exactly.
Yeah.
But she's making it a practice of identifying the fear and then making a decision on, is this the right day to do something about it or not? Is this the right moment? Not everybody, all of us are going to jump. This is my subtext in my conversation. We don't need to do it all the time.
No,
but I love how she also asked permission, or is it okay?
In this space that I'm creating for us and we're creating together. Right. Right. And she's getting to know me in a certain way where I always want the truth.
And that's because
for
I want to be able to be honest.
Yeah.
In this lifetime, mm-hmm. I want it to be safe to be honest.
Right. Well, you've created that.
So the two sides of the coin that you were talking about. Sorry, I'm having this epiphany. It's like I got to tell you this.
Explain it. Yeah.
It's
go.
So perfect. And when you're feeling that tension, is it a square or an opposition? I'm not sure. But that kind of thing where, that part of me that I see reflected in you that makes me uncomfortable about myself, and that kind of thing. But then it's invited into this dialogue where actually we have to feel safe enough.
Yeah,
which we kind of have here in this context, to be able to have what happened there with you, to say, okay, first of all, I have something, is this okay for me to share that? And then you put it out, and you're reflecting it. And
mm-hmm.
So there's the oneness in it, is that as you can get past that fear, then there's the invitation to connect and clear. It's almost like it's just a little factor.
That's right.
And especially right. now with the acceleration, it's
That's
really
right.
just going, okay, boop, 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 let's take care of that. So, and out it goes.
So I want to tell you the side that you don't know yet about that interaction. And that's what was happening in me. Because I want to show you the other side of the coin. Okay. And I, you know, have the opportunity, and I, one of my commitments with my relationship with Candace is to take the opportunity, right? Because I believe in her and she believes in me, and it's kind of a good equilibralizing. So, anyway, so it's a good feedback thing. Equal, start thought. Equal liberation. Look at you. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to write that down later. Equal liberation. Oh, you want me to tell the story? You actually want me to finish? So I'm just sitting with the word. So the hesitancy that a part of her always feels about speaking up makes a part of me nervous and unhappy. Because I'm not always forthright. So I see the hesitancy to speak the truth, and a part of me would be inclined to be impatient with her because I'm feeling that. So that's my karma. So she says, I want to say something, and I say, bring it. Because I'm choosing not to perpetuate my karma of regret for not speaking up my truth. Regret, judgment, the karma, the belief that I assigned to what happened when I spoke my truth and it turned out crappy. When I in a group said, this is what I need to say, and somebody said, get the hell out, or who do you think you are? Or I'm getting ready to teach this workshop, can you just shut your hole? Whatever, all these things that could have happened, like, I don't want to hear that. So, but I resonate with that, and I say, I strive to speak the truth too. It's really important to me. And part of the dynamic I happen to have with her, and also in this part of the country, that's important too. Separate topic, but important too. This is my Mercury IC line, by the way. So I'm like, feel good about speaking what I'm feeling. But I can let her, the part of her that always hesitates, I can give her that power because I'm judging myself. Or I can say, she has something to say. So this present way of communicating offers the chance to get rid of all the karma, just to say, oh, that's not actually true. What I think is going to happen or what I fear might happen doesn't have to happen. And so that, and we're talking about it in terms of talking about in this kind of intimate space of a workshop, right, where we are creating the space together and connecting and, you know, pouring our hearts out. But it can happen from the individual basis every single day. Like at a gas station the other day, the guy who was pumping the gas in Oregon was wonderful. And he says to me, he's chit-chatty, he's smiley. Usually, I don't like telling people in random tiny towns where I've never been what I do for a living. And he says, he sees the license plate on the car, and he goes, oh, Kansas, huh? And I was like, well, I'm from Tucson. I'm just in that car. And, you know, I'm going up to Yakima to teach a thing. Oh, what do you teach? And I said, I teach astrology and spirituality and metaphysics. And he said, there was this turning point, potential. And he said, is that biblical? Okay. Now, I don't know if he's like, I don't know. I don't have any idea where that's coming from. And it could be he's just right Chiron in the seventh, though. I don't want to tell him okay. So I said, oh, no, it's not biblical. It's helping people understand themselves. It's connecting to soul, and it's bringing soul into conscious awareness, understanding why the soul has chosen to become this person. And he said, oh, well, that's really cool. Now I was just curious if it was biblical. I don't care about religion. Like, you never, I had no idea. So, but that risk, I can let that guy be who he is. And if he says, well, I didn't go for all that nonsense and I'm a biblical kind of guy or whatever, then it's not about me and my work is still pretty cool. Like, I still feel it's pretty rad. So the choice in every interaction, right? Chiron, not to get on Chiron, but like, since we had that conversation last night and everybody was here, Chiron in the second, you have the choice every time it comes for you to say, this is what's important to me, yeah. Right? Even though I might think it's weird, right? Chiron in the ninth, this is what I believe. Chiron in the third, this is what I'm thinking right now. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, I can't remember your Chirons.
Chiron third.
Third, right. And then, and where's your Chiron? Do you remember? Do you know?
Pardon me?
Where your Chiron is? Do you know where that, happen to know where that is? Okay. Neither here nor there. But anyway, just to give that example of like we each have that opportunity to choose not to expect rejection. And that happens on a daily basis. Value system, what's on my mind right now, belief, vision, belief, acceptance, honesty, forthrightness, yeah, Scorpio honesty. So the thing on karma is so different than what we have been taught or picked up, you know, because when I teach it that way, you can see it's empowering, or it's potentially empowering. It puts like a mantle of responsibility on you to watch your thoughts and to choose to create your reality how you want, but it's not this, oh, I'm having a bad day and that person lied to me, it must be my karma. Yeah, I'm just going to collect my thoughts for a second and see what else I want to deal with karma before we move. Oh yeah, let's take a break. Let's make it quick. When I say like 8.5 minutes, I don't mean 20.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm going to stop this and we'll do a new file because of length, well, easier to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll stop that and then do a new file.
This is perfect because it's perfect.
That's cool.
Always on hold.